You can preach them till the sun goes up and then goes down again. But if you are not living it, you don't got the victory. All right? All right. Let me see. Okay. Oh, I thought this was interesting. You don't have to go here. In Daniel 3:19 and 21, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they got put in that fire, you know the clothing that they had on? You remember the word hosen? H-O-S-E-N? You know that they're, you know how all the clothing, they'll give you names in the Bible, what the clothing means, especially your armor? Okay, well, back then, they had hosen. Well, I looked up the word hosen in Greek, and that word means a gown hammered wide shield. That's the shield of truth. That's what they were wearing in there. They were wearing a bunch of others, but they also, it says, the meaning of their clothes are almost completely lost since the earliest translation. But that one word, hosen, in the Greek, means a gown hammered out wide. I visioned a shield, a gown hammered out wide. I thought, well, that was worth it. You know what? He had his arm wrong. He has a shield. And I'll tell you what, I can't prove it, but it is something for you to ponder. Those other particles of those clothing, I bet was the armor of God. Now, I can't prove that, but I can at least put that out there. I won't say thus saith the Lord that, but I'll put it out there. Okay, for military people, when you leave off some of your armor, this leaves an avenue of approach for Satan. Are you impressed, Steve? I did that just for you. Okay. Your only defense is truth itself, also known as faith. Right. It's testing you. Okay. Jesus left us what? He left us the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of truth. Okay? You know, he said, I've got to leave so he can come. I can't, if I don't leave, he won't come. You know what? You needed him to come. It's the spirit of truth, and he left it to us. If you're doing without, it's because you haven't received it. We don't want to do without. The enemy has five arrows. Five flaming arrows. Y'all want to hear them? All right. Number one is doubt. Now, this is what the Lord gave me. Doubt. What you doubt, you will not do immediately. It leaves room for no when you should have said yes. Okay? Stand in your armor, no wavering. Remember Genesis 3:1. Did God really say, doubt questions God? And then the Lord told me, you can almost see him doing this in parentheses, doubt resorts to indecision. That's what it resorts to. Number two, delay. What you put off only has a 20% of chance of ever getting done. You can do it later, he says. You can do it. I remember I was trying to quit smoking. How much more time do I got? It's a quarter till. Okay. I was trying to quit smoking, and the Lord did not. He told me to quit. But the enemy said, oh, you got plenty of time. You're young. Go ahead and smoke, smoke, smoke. Well, you know, when you're drinking and smoking and everything else, you don't know how much time you got. You know, I wasn't only doing that little sin. And I kept putting it off, and I said, oh, I'd go to the Lord about once a year. Okay, Lord, I'm ready to quit smoking. I think that this is what I want you to do. I don't want any withdrawals. I don't want to get overweight. I don't want to be angry. You know, I don't want to be puking in the toilet. I want nothing. But I'm ready to quit smoking for you. How about that? I'm going to give you that. And I remember trying to quit. We lived in Missouri. It's snowy, cold outside and snow on the ground. And when I, mind you, when I tried to quit, I would smoke still. I'd just take them down to the local store and I'd tell the man, now listen, if I come in here, you give me a cigarette. They're mine. I bought them. I said, you give them to me, but I'm trying to quit smoking, so you hold on to them. So I'd have to get in my car and go, you know, go get my cigarette, and I come back. And I'd smoke a little bit of it, and then I'd feel so guilty, I'd throw the rest out in the snow. Well, after trying to quit for, you know, months, I'd tell the whole neighborhood, tell my friend Michelle, she'd send me flowers and candy. I don't know how many times I got just things from her. because she's so proud of me because I quit. And I'm out there digging in the snow for these little butts of cigarette, putting them on a cookie sheet, taking them inside, mighty woman of God as myself, taking them up there with my, and acting like it's a grand offering for the Lord. And I'm over there and I open my oven and I stick my cookie of cigarette tobacco in the oven, turn it on, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, good 10 more minutes, and I'm going to have me a nice cigarette, you know? And then, not bad enough, I'm baking cigarettes in my oven, trying to get them thawed out from the winter. I get them out, I get my cigarette off the cookie tray, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And mind you, I am thinking I'm just a righteous woman here. And I take it outside. Watch me now. I take it outside, I have this one little cigarette. Cigarette's bad for you, don't smoke. And I get my lighter, and I bend down in my carport because I've told everybody in my neighborhood I have quit smoking. Praise the Lord. And I bend down with my lighter, and I light that cigarette, and I could hear the Lord. Who are you hiding from? I said, no one! I'm not hiding from no one! He said, I'm the one that counts, and you're not even care that I could see you. I said, yes, sir. You know, and so this went on. This went on. I can tell you many stories about me trying to quit smoking, stopping off a gas station to my husband. I got to go to the bathroom, running there. Give me a fucking cigarette! You know, and then run to the bathroom and light a cigarette. And then come out with this big cloud of smoke. No, I wasn't smoking. Must have been somebody else smoking in that bathroom. But I could just, like I said, tell you a number of stories. But I tell you what, 4 years ago on Easter Sunday, the night before, I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, here I am again. I'm ready to quit smoking. And we're going to quit. But this time I changed my heart. I said, Lord, I don't care what I do. I could puke in that toilet. I could gain 50 pounds. I can just be a total hag. I don't care. Because tomorrow's Easter. And your son died for me, for my sin, and I want to give this sin to you. I'm done. And that's what he did. I haven't smoked since. Hadn't went through withdrawals. Didn't gain weight. I mean, I might gain weight, but wasn't because of cigarettes. Just because I love to eat. And I didn't even gain a pound for like 2 years. And then I just decided I really did like to eat. I could taste all my food so much better. And I'm like, golly, this does taste wonderful. And so, you know. But I'm not going to say to the Lord, I gained weight by quitting smoking, because I did not. That'd be a lie. But he delivered me. And you know, I didn't have one withdrawal. Didn't have anything going on. My grandmother died shortly after. I moved to here and to there, and all the stress of all that, never did, as God is my witness, have I desired to have not one cigarette. Wow. Not one. Not one. Now that is God. I smoked for 18 years, and mind you, I cut down to like 5 or 6 a day, but all I wanted those 5 or 6 a day as bad as you want your whole pack. You know, I counted on those. Those were my, like, support system there. Okay, so do not delay. That was a whole, I said all that to say this. Don't delay. Don't delay. Do it. I could have quit 8 years before when I first started trying if I had not a delayed and listened to lies. Oh, you're young. Go ahead and smoke. Okay, defeat. Number 3 is defeat. When you feel defeated, you lose sight of hope. Defeat swallows hope. Doctors can give you a spirit of defeat. They can swallow your hope. That's why the Lord said, go on my report. They knew it. Okay? I'm not going to tell that story. I'm going to move on to diversion. 4 is diversion. Caused by a distraction. God is the main event. Let's not get the distraction for God. You know, He is the main event. Okay? And the Lord showed me, diversion has a one-way sign down a two-way street. That's what diversion is. It'll, psh. Okay. I'll tell you a quick story about the PTA. We have time for one more. Okay. The PTA They called me up one night, and I told my friends, I'm not going to tell you these stories, so I'm going to tell them. That night, they called me. They wanted me to join it. And I said, well, you know, right now, I'm going through some things. I'm writing some books. You know, I'd love to be a part of it, but I can't commit to it every single day or week or thing, you know. And she said, oh, that's okay. She called me at home one night. She goes, listen, I was thinking about it, and we wanted to know, you'll be the chaplain. Maybe you could be the chaplain for the PTA. Now we all think, great, don't we? Yeah, and I did too. I said, okay, I can do that. I can pray. I can pray. There's no problem in that. About 2 weeks later, she called me up, and she said, well, I haven't even told my husband the story. I was pretty excited. I told my friend I was going to be the chaplain's PTA and everything. And she called me up nighttime. She goes, well, you know, I talked to the principal, and because of all the conflict, you know, we don't think we're going to be able to have you do that. We want you to write something in our PTA newsletter every week. And I said, okay. And she goes, but you can't really mention God. And I said, what? She goes, you can't really, you can do something that's uplifting. I said, and how am I to do that without mentioning God? And I started pulling up this shield. And I thought, no. And I love to write. I love to write. I love to minister however I can minister. But when she said, you can't use God, I said, you know what? You got the wrong person then. I said, because I can't imagine writing anything on paper that doesn't glorify my God. And she said, oh. She goes, well, you can't just like write a little uplifting something. I said, you know, I can't write nothing. If you're asking me to leave God out, then I've got to turn you down, because I'm not leaving God out. Not at any point in my life, ever. And I told her, no, they wanted me. They said, we want you to write. We want you to do this. But you got to leave God out. I'm like, what is the point of your little letter if we're going to leave God out? Well, how inspiring can I be if I'm not going to put God in it? So I turned her down. That's my little diversion. That was a diversion. That would have took up my time. If I'm not doing the things of God, you don't get my time. Okay. Do not be willing to receive. Listen to this, folks. This is good. I just got this the other night. I mean, the Lord's been giving me these things but you know, we're on the last stage. We're doing good. He's been giving this to me for a while, but the Lord gave me this the other night, and he says, do not be willing to receive what Jesus already took. Don't be receiving what he already took. He bore the sickness. He bore the disease. He did all that right on the cross. You are healed. By his stripes you're healed. Right. Period. Right. There's nothing else. The attacks on you are attacks from the enemy. You're healed. You're walking in your healing. And mind, you're going to get in line with that. Right. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay? She's healed. I know she's healed. I'm not saying that because I'm her daughter. I'm saying that because I'm a woman of God, and I know it. She's healed. That's right. Okay? So, the last arrow. This is it. Because sickness can be your diversion. It can be your diversion. Last arrow is this, discouragement. This happens when you doubt enough to delay enough to feel defeated, while the enemy has created a diversion by a distraction which causes discouragement. And I know that's a mouthful, but that's the truth. Get the tape. If you can't remember it, get the tape. And then the Lord said this, discouragement lays in the street of defeat. I can just see it laying in the middle of defeat. Laying there, discouraged. Discouraged in the street of defeat.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. One more thing. The armor of the enemy, the Lord showed me. He wears armor. And I got confirmation one night when I was sitting in Cunningham Copeland's ministries, the Lord had already gave me this. And they showed this real evil. Remember, you were there, and I said, Marty, remember, when I speak about this, I'm appointing you to say that. And they showed this big, evil, ugly, gruesome-looking thing. And he was the spirit of strife. He's a spirit of strife. But he was what God gave me in my mind. He looked just like it. And you know what? God said Satan has his armor, and his armor are lies. And he has a suit of deception, a hat of doubt, a shirt of delay, a jacket of defeat, a tie of diversion, and pants of discouragement. That's what he wears. And we got one arrow. His name is Jesus. And we just shoot him down. That's it. We shoot him down. We got one arrow. We don't need five because we got one. The truth, which is Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I got a back page. Okay, wait. I'm getting there. Okay, this is how he works. If the enemy can persuade you to doubt, then you'll delay. In the delay, you feel defeated because of the diversion of discouragement. That's what the Lord told me. Know the truth. Put on your armor and fight the good fight. Okay? Truth itself. In Ephesians, it said, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. In addition, in other words, let's add to it. Let's pick up the truth, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows. It all boils down to us. Do we believe, it boils down to this, do you believe God can do what he said he can do?
Amen.
That's what it boils down to, folks. It does. Do you believe? Do you believe this? Because I know many say they do. But I'm telling you, walk, if you're walking around, you know, when you get up to heaven, you don't want to all be beat to crud, you know, up there in the Lord. You know, I seen a vision when I was laying in my bed, and the Lord, you know, he showed me. It's fine. I'm going to put it in words, but this is what he showed me. And these people go, oh my God. And broken and I'm here, Lord. And he said, come with me. And they're okay. You know, and they're all yuck, beaten and black and blue and broken arms. And he opens the door and he says, there you go. What do you see? What do you think's in that door? It's their suit of armor. Untouched. Unblemished. No fiery dart's been shot at that because their body has taken it. Because they are taking the fiery dart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he showed me that vision. He said, there is their suit of armor. That's not just, if you don't wear it, doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. It just means you get there, you get to visit the thing you didn't wear. What's the point of it? What would be the point? You know, you don't need your suit of armor once you get to heaven. You know why he keeps that? To show you what you could have had. He said, remember in the prophecy? He said, I don't give to according to what I have, I give according to what you're willing to receive. Receive the armor. He left it because we knew we were going to be in a fight. We're not down here just to have a big party. And listen, if you don't think you're fighting for, thank you, honey. If you don't think you're fighting for yourself, well, then you're fighting for someone else. So it's not just for you, your suit of armor. It's for others. Put on that armor so you can stand up and fight when that person's weak and down low and can't get up themselves and put up their own suit of armor. You wear yours. You fight for them. I fight for my mom. I fight for her till the day I die. I'm wearing my suit of armor for my family. I'm wearing it for my mom. Wear yours. You got a family. My friend loves you. So the Lord gave me this. Faith has a mouth. The Lord just spoke just proverbs to me one day, like 32 proverbs. I wrote them down. She said, write them down and mail them back to yourself so you'll have, so nobody can take them from you. I said, good idea, I will. And I did. I wrote them down and mailed them back to myself. And I mail stuff to myself all the time. Praise the Lord. I need to put from Jesus. Yeah, instead of myself. Faith has a mouth. Lie wears a suit of deception. Okay, James 4, I'm ending with this. Resist the devil, lies, and he must flee. You know, folks, it's not a clap your toes 500 times, do flip-flops, do a couple of cartwheels, turn around and five hallelujahs to get rid of him. One word of truth. Resist. One word of truth. One word of truth is worth it. It's just multitude of lies with one word of truth. That's our arrow, the truth. We knock them out. Let's pray. Y'all want to? Thank y'all. You want me to pray or you want to pray? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this word that you gave me today to put in these people's ears. I thank you for the anointing. I thank you that this seed is sown in their hearts and Satan, you will not steal it. This is a word planted from God on good soil. You will not have it. In the name of Jesus. This is a divine word from heaven to get us prepared for these latter days. So we're going to put on our full armor. And we're going to fight. And when we've done all we can do, we're going to stand. And when we've done all else we can do, we're going to still stand. We are not moving. We are standing in the Word of God. And we're going to pray this prayer of faith out to all these families that when they get in the morning, up in the next tomorrow morning, life will not be the same. They will get up and get on their armor before they go out that door. If nothing else, just pray while you're walking out with your purse or your hat or whatever and say, Lord, put on my suit today. Give me that helmet of salvation, the belt of truth. Lord Jesus, fit my feet with readiness. Lord, I thank you that these people are changed because of this word today, because it was from you. They will never look at those flaming arrows the same. And that they know that that word faith means truth itself. And that is our arrow. Every time that devil shoots lies at you, you shoot him back to truth. In the name of Jesus, I pray over this congregation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This will be planted in their souls forever. They will go out and get what they've learned today and teach it to someone. Be blessed, and then go and be a blessing. In the name of Jesus, amen.